I thank God Almighty for a night like tonight, right? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And I certainly thank Pastor Chris and Pastor Miriam for the opportunity to get up here. And I always have to thank my lovely wife, my prayer partner, my wife of 46 years. Yes. And a real anointed lady of God. If the now you guys don't get to come back on the first Monday when the marriage coaches get back there. And if the coaches have gotten used to it now, that when we start and we go through, I just sit down and she runs it, right? Because, see, I actually know who I am. I know God has anointed me to do things. But I also know that he's anointed her to do this ministry. So I'm like her bodyguard in there, you know, like whatever going on. But the deal is when she gets up and sets it all up, and we've had things like a marriage conference, we've had date nights, we've had training, we've had marriage enrichment courses, and we have them all over the place. And surely God has touched her. Surely God has touched her. And so, and when nothing but a real ignorant man would get in the way of that. And I had not been called that, so. Our scripture tonight is the Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2. But let us pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we praise you for this night, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that all that is said and done comes with your approval, comes with your words, comes with your anointing, that nothing is done, nothing at all is ever done that displeases you. And so, Lord God, we yield. We yield to your Holy Spirit. We yield to your will. We all say, not my will, but your will be done. So all that we do and say, Lord God, we pray that it blesses you. In the precious name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. 127th Psalm, and we're going to talk about being all in. All in. All in is when, the praise team gets us into the the presence of God. They usher us into the presence of God. You never notice here nobody hollers out, you ought to be doing this and you ought to praise that, and you hear, no, they don't drag you into it. They usher you into the presence of God. And it's up to you to come in. You can come in if you choose and just stick your toes in. But that ain't what we want. We want you to come all the way in. We want you to know fully who God is. We want you to know who he is, what he has done, why he has called you, why you are here tonight. We want you to know who he is and whose you are. And so we say all in. And the scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That was the New King James Version. In the Message Version, it says, if God doesn't build a house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise up early and go to bed late and to work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving you rest to those he loves? We are to trust in the Lord. It is our position to trust in him in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide our path. It is our position to bow before a true and living God. It's our position to lean in and hear what he's telling us, because he guides us all the way. The Holy Spirit is talking with us when we're going to work, when we're sitting at the desk, when we're going here and there. He is leading and guiding us, because we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. And we don't get that. We don't get that mixed up. Now, we're not part shepherd or part-time shepherd or none of that. We are the sheep all the time, and he is the shepherd all the time. And so when we trust in the Lord with all our in all our ways, and we don't lean to our own understanding, it makes our position easy, because he is the one that's in charge. Amen? Amen. Families establish homes and watchmen guard cities. But both of these activities are in vain unless God is with them. A family without God will never experience the spiritual bond that God brings to the relationship. Just like a city without God will crumble from the evil and the corruption that's on the inside. Don't make the mistake of leaving God out of your life. Make God your highest priority and let him do the building. But that don't mean be lazy. So if you were to turn over to the Proverbs 31 and you was to go down around the 10th verse, you will hear people, lots of people talk about the virtuous woman. And if you notice, they probably got it up there now, but you probably notice that's a hard-working lady. And so, but her focus is on God, and he leads her step. Did you know that word, the virtuous woman, did you know that word was a military word? Mm-hmm. What that means is, this is a strong woman. This is a woman that you really don't want to mess with. She's guarded. She's strong. She has wisdom. She has focusness. And she guarded by God. That's a strong woman. That's a virtuous woman. How about, did you know that the person who wrote the virtuous woman, where that came from? They say Solomon wrote it, but if you read up at the beginning, he say, these are the words that my mother taught me. So his mother was teaching him about the wife to look for. So anybody out here who is a mother and got some sons that's growing up, you probably want to teach them what to look for. Because that's what we did. Not kind of what we did, that's what we did. And I would sit and talk to my boys when they were like this, because it's real hard to talk to them when they're this tall. And if you've seen my son, they're all over 6'2". And it's hard to talk to them then. So I talked to them when they were here all the way up. And I used to tell them the kind that could come in the house and the kind that don't come to the house. And that's what you have to do. And on the same token, if you have daughters, you need to teach them what a good man is looking for. Amen? Amen? Because all of them look for, but that ain't what the virtuous woman saw. Did you notice in the virtuous woman, and I want y'all to read that, did you notice there's no way in there they talked about her physical looks? It all talked about who she was. Because in real life, old hubby ain't supposed to see all that till the marriage night anyway. You see how that worked? So a hard-working woman and a lady who's in God, who's all the way in, who's all the way in, God oozes out of her in all of her conversations. Guys who are in God, God oozes out of them, and it will become part of your conversation. And I was sitting there talking with a guy this morning at work, And he had come in just to do an inspection, and then he was finishing up, and he was giving me a debrief. And how about when he was in there for about 35, 40 minutes, and for 30 minutes, he talked about God. I said, now, isn't that something? But that's when you're all in. When God is in you, what's in you will come out. You don't believe that? Go nail some wood and mess and hit your finger. What's in you will come out. It will come out. And you say, oh, my goodness, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So working hard is a good thing. As long as you're working with God, you're working under the leadership and the direction of the precious Holy Spirit as he tells you what to do. Of course you want to work hard because you want to be a good steward. You want to do what God has told you. But don't work hard or work without God because you're just wasting your time. Working hard without God is a cover-up for a lack of faith. Working hard without God exposes trust issues. Working hard without God shows that you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. But we should be working hard with God. We build our homes with our words and our testimony. Whether we are building structures with brick, mortar, or steel, or if we are building lives, families, and church organizations with truth and love, we cannot succeed without the help of God. He said in John 15:5, he said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And he talked about every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So when you're doing real good, and you're doing all that God has told you to do, and you get some little nips here, nips there, chips, he's pruning you. Because when you prune, you go bigger. When you prune, you bear more fruit. And he has actually given you, he has found grace, he has found honor in you, and he's going to prune you because he's making you ready for more responsibilities and for more. And so that is why you get pruned, not because you did anything wrong, because you did great. We build our heart, we build our homes through following God's lead. The kingdom of God has laws. So when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we become a child of God. God becomes our Father. The more we get to know the Father, the more we become like him. One of the greatest truths about our Father is that he uses his words to make things happen. The Bible tells us that God formed the world with his words. What do you form with your words? When you speak, do you frame your world in God? When you speak, is it about love and what Jesus and what God has done, or is it what I have done? Do I hear more eyes than him? Do I see more of you than God? When you all in, God's presence, the work of God, the things that he's done will be forefront in you, and that's what you'll talk about. But if it's about you, then you'll start telling all of the things that you have done. And that is not where God wants us. The Bible tells us that he formed the world with his words. Our Father spoke what he wanted to see manifest. He applied his faith with his words, and what he spoke became being. He framed his desires with his words. We build our homes with our testimony. Testimony of God's protection. In 1961, about 9/10 of y'all wasn't even born. In 1961, that was back in the day when we used to have the Cold War. And so we used to have the big planes flying all around the coast of America with live bombs on them because we were so afraid that the Russians was going to come. Well, in 1961, up in Goldsboro, a B-52, which was flying with live bombs, it came around and it had a whole lot of problems and it started to fall apart. The plane starts falling apart. You can look it up in there, Google it. And two live atom bombs came out of the plane and fell into the dirt. One went 20 feet down and it had four safeties on it and three of them armed right here in the United States. That's God's protection. That's God protecting us when we didn't even know things would happen. It's just like when you ride down the road and you think everything is hunky-dory and you got all these drunk drivers driving down. You know, one of the things I get to do is to read the blotter when I'm at work. And every morning I read the blotter and I see all of those guys that got caught drinking and driving. I go, mercy, I could have passed them. But that's the reality of life because we live in a fallen world. And here's the deal. They do get caught. And the deal is, statistics say that every third person you pass is under the influence of alcohol. Isn't that crazy? Think how many people you pass just to get here. Isn't that crazy? Because you're all in. Because you are praying in the morning, praying in the afternoon, praying for your children, praying for your grandchildren, that some don't even have grandchildren. Pray for them now before you get them. Pray for them all the time because we are all in. We want our kids, grandkids, down to it. I used to say down to the 10th generation. That's good because God said he's going to bless 1,000 generations, and your prayers can go that far down if you all in. You pray, you want your kids to be blessed. You have the ability to do that. Just be all in and praise God because you never know what's going on because we are in a fallen world. Because that is going on, let your testimony be, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless him at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Then he says, I shouted to the Lord and he heard me and deliver me from all my fear, because he is God. Amen. And he is always God. When you sleep, when you tired, when you're up and good and everything's happy, he's God. No matter where you are, when you are, he is God. When you die and go in the grave, he's still God, because he's outside of time, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's forever and forever. And so we testify about how good God is. And so as we talk about being all in, when we talk about knowing who God is, our testimony has to be that. Now, not just what comes out of your mouth. That's a good testimony. That really is. But when I see you, and you don't see me, and the clerk at one of them stores that you like to go to is being real ugly, what is your testimony? What is your testimony when you walking around and you not necessarily getting your way? What's your testimony? Here's one. Your feet hurt real bad. And I say, how you doing? Oh, my feet hurt, my back hurt, my shoulder hurt. That's your testimony. You didn't say, God, I got an issue, but God is working it out. I have this here, but God has got it. Because your testimony is who God is, because to you. And so here's the deal. In Revelation, it says the enemy, the devil, was defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When you start saying who God is to you, when you're all in and you start saying God is, God is, God is, then no, he can't get into any of that, because you have set up a perimeter, and he comes in and he protects and blesses and keeps you safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. As old people would say, he's a mind regulator. He keeps you straight. He keeps all of the craziness thoughts out of our head. Because if you aren't careful, you ever just been talking about something or just doing something, and the craziest thought come in your head? That's why we have to pray all the time. We have to be all in, because the enemy will try to manipulate your mind and try to get you to change something when you wasn't saying that at all. And so the real deal is to be all in, to know who God is, to bless his holy name, because he truly is worthy of praise and honor. You know, we honor God. We are supposed to honor God all the time. Every time you resist the slightest temptation, you praise God. Every time we overcome even the smallest problem by trusting him and obeying our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor him. Whenever we choose character over confidence, over convenience, whenever we choose faithfulness over ease, whenever we choose honesty over deceit, we are honoring our God. Whenever we choose not to get offended, because you know we can get offended pretty good. When we forgive when we really don't want to. When we serve him with a watertight obedience, even in the small things, that God is glorified. Mm-hmm. Let God get the glory out of your life. Show the world that you're fully in. Show the world, because there are lots of folks who won't come in here, so they won't get to see God for real. Amen. But when they see you in the store and the people are acting crazy, but you are honoring God, when they see you in the park, in the store, and people are driving in front of you, you don't give them the one-hand salute, you just let them go on by. You see what I mean? And so the deal is, we honor God, and God honors you for honoring him. And so, yes, it's just like, it's funny when we talk about the football games, and there are a bunch of different teams in here. And because I saw the Phillies over there, and I called Jackson right after Philly won, and I said, Great game. I celebrate with you. Because he and I got a closer bond than some silly football game. You see what I mean? And so I'm not going to be arguing back and forth. I'm not going to send him no crazy text. I'm not going to do any of that. Because even when it's all over, all we get to say is, my team won or my team lost. But because we are all in with God, my testimony has got to be more than a football game. It's got to be more than a soccer game. It's got to be more than if I'm a race car driver. It's got to be more than that. And so when it's over with, poof, and we go out to dinner, I'm not going to waste any time on hard feelings or saying the wrong thing, because you never know when some people are having a kind of rough day, and they expect, when they see you, they expect an encouraging word. And then you go, hey man, what happened to your team? Well, I ain't gonna say nothing silly. Are you kidding me? I'm not gonna say that. No, I don't really care about it. And if the truth was known, I didn't watch the whole thing anyway. I just got the highlights at the end, you know what I mean? But I did. I called him up and said, hey, good job, big guy. We'll see y'all next week. But that's what it is, because we know who God is. So we have to be committed and devoted to God, because as we study his word and we study who he is. And as we get closer and closer and know who he is, you will see it in us. You will see it. When we are called to the marriage ministry, and so I get to see a lot of marriages. And we do the greeters, and I'm always the one against the glass over there. And so I could look through the glass out there, and I'd be watching them coming in. And I could see some of them, they look like they're getting ready to do the Mike Tyson thing. And then they get right up to the front right there, and then they grab each other's hand and come in. Hey, how you doing? I said, no, I saw you get out the car. I saw you, that, how that work? I saw you get out the car. So the deal is, if we are God's people, if we are in Christ Jesus, there are some folks that's walking with you who are coming to find out who Christ Jesus is. And then when you get up here and you start hollering and hooping and all that kind of stuff, and they go, well, wait a minute. Them, wasn't that the people that was getting ready to fight in the parking lot? You see, so the whole thing is, we have to be all in. We have to know that God is who he say he is, and we have to bless his holy name because he is worthy of praise and honor and glory. When there's things going on, and I've seen lots of things, isn't something worth fighting still left in your marriage? Isn't there something still there? And if something is there that's worth fighting for, it's worth being the bigger person. And even though I'm the one that was wrong, I'll still bless God. Amen. I will still praise God. I'm either gonna stay here in it all the way, or I'm out. But I'm not gonna play both games. I'm not gonna go both ways, because if you in it, God doesn't like hypocrites. He likes for people to be in it or out of it. You know what he said in Revelation? He said, you either hot or you cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm gonna spew you out. So the deal is, if you are in God, if you are fully in God, act like it. And then while you're acting like it, tell your face about it. Let your face know. Let your face know that you're in there. Tell your face, because your face ought to look like you enjoyed it. So fight for what's left. And I'll tell, now I don't know who this is for, but sometimes fighting for your marriage is keeping your mouth closed. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that's for, but if it flies over there and hits you, that's you. Whenever the absolute worst thing happens, don't quit. Amen. Turn to God. Hold on to his unchanging hand. When you think the worst thing has happened, don't quit. Don't quit. We build a safeguard in our homes by trusting in God. In Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people for this time forth and forever. He's a strong tower. He's a hedge of protection. He's a mighty shield. I remember, I got a buddy that's real good friend of mine, is out of town. And he had been married for a long time. And real craziness went in his house. And I got to watch him stand. And he would call me every so often, quite often. And the foolishness was just going on and going on. And he was praying and praying. And finally, I said, man, are you gonna stay there? He says, I am going to stay here until God moves her. He said, I'm not going anywhere. He said, I made a commitment to God, and I'm gonna stay right here until God moves her. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. But she took a turn and didn't come back. And it was only because that's what she chose. There was no craziness, no infidelity in the marriage, but none of that. She just chose, I don't want to be married no more, and she left. And so when that was over with, God blessed and restored him a household, and he's probably one of the happiest men in the world right now because he found a godly wife. And he is working and doing very good. The deal is he was fully in. Because you cannot go through that kind of upheaval in your house and stand there and smile and praise the Lord. But he did it. And I use him as an example. And a lot of times when I'm talking to guys about marriages when they go rough, because he stood. He was a godly man who just stood. He said, I'm not going nowhere. And even to this day, he has never, when we have a conversation, because I call him out twice a week, and even to this day, he has never said a foul word about his former wife. He has not talked nasty about her, you know, any of that stuff. I said, man, you. But he is fully in. And when you're all in, you can do that. When you're all in. Because see, the pressure and the weight is not on your shoulders. The weight is because God takes it off, you know. He takes that off. He takes that off and allows you, because remember, he said his burden is light. And so he gives us the light burden and he takes off all of the upheaval that the world tries to place on us. I remember when I was a little boy, and you know that was 100 years ago, right? But I was about 10 years old, and I was raised in the country now, my wife's raised in the city. But anyway, we was running around in these fields, and they had this little creek that ran through the field. And so it was about three of us, and we ran, and we was running through the field, just having a good old time. And then so we ran up, and the three of us were standing, and we was talking about what we were going to do late. And so one of the guys looked down, and that was the biggest, ugliest water moccasin under his foot. And it was standing, and we were all standing within 3 feet of each other. And I could see it trying to come out. And of course, we all saw it and screamed and took off and running and boogity boogity and all that kind of stuff. And I never forgot that, because here, maybe a couple of years ago or a couple of months ago, I don't remember because I'm getting old, I was in this position, and I have lots of kids that I call them my kids, because I'm old, so when they 40, they're still a kid. Amen. And this guy was in there, and the very moment I saw him, I knew he was a snake. And so I watched him for a month or two. And the snake came out. And so finally it bothered me because he was saying some things that just wasn't. So I told my wife about it. And so she went and talked with a lady who was there. And but she thought that we were saying something about her. No, I was saying there's a snake in the house. And when she thought that we were the one talking about her, that really hurt us, but it didn't stop us because I'm fully in. And I love you more than your feelings being hurt. You see what I mean? And so when that came up, we exposed the snake. And now, whenever we see him, we know he's a snake. And that's what you have to do in your house, in your loved ones, in everybody who respects you as a person of God, man or woman of God, any of them. You have to be strong enough to tell when they can't see it, But you can. That's your job. God showed it to you because you could see it. If they could see it, he would have showed it to them and they'd have done something about it. But if you, because see, one of the things that's where a snake operate. You ever notice it's real stiff. And their colors, they blend into the side, to the environment. And the real poisonous ones are aggressive, but they know when to strike. And so as you sitting there thinking that everything is cool, it'll slide right up and pop your pow. And before you know it, you have poison in your system. And if it's a two-legged snake, you'll start talking like him. And you start saying the same thing that the two-legged snake said, because the poison is in you. But God, in all of his grace, always keeps someone around you that will bless you. And he will always bless you because he knows who you are. And he knows whose you are. And you his child, and he is never going to allow you to be unaware. You ever notice in any storm, I want y'all to think back, in any real storm that you've been through, God put some people around you before the storm came so that you will have strength. You will have somebody to brace you up on that leaning side. And so, Whatever it is, he always, always have someone to your side. That's why I say he's all in to you. We need to be all in to him. So whenever there's something that happens, whenever we get a serious gut shot, we should say, I'm still here. I am still here. No matter what is going on, I am still here because I know who you are, and I'm going to stay here because God has blessed me. I know where my protection is coming from. I know where grace is. I know what is going on. I know he'll keep me, so I am still here. You can't move me off this mark. I am going to stay here because God said it. I believe it, and I'm going to stay here. Amen. So when your attack comes, remember, I'm still here. Whenever something happens and the storm comes, don't run from the people that God has placed in your surroundings, because that's where the healing is. He said, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Well, the reason why he tell you that is because that's the people that's going to be praying for you. Because there are some times you can get so sick that you won't even be able to pray for yourself. And you need the prayers of the saints. You need somebody to come in and hold and pray and bless your holy name. Bless his holy name, because God listens to the praise and the prayers of his saints. I remember when we were getting ready, couple years ago, my wife was getting ready to go to the hospital, and we didn't really realize how bad it was. But the day before she got ready to go, the marriage coaches came over and they prayed and laid hands on her. And when we were down in the hospital in Wilmington, the surgeon said, you know, now that it's over, you actually should have died. And that's what she said. And I said, no, that ain't gonna happen. Because we had people praying. Not only did we have people praying when we went, but we had people praying while we were there. And we had people praying when we came back. Because see, the people that was with us was fully in. They were all in. They knew who God was, and they were praying. And they were praying, and because the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so we have to, not only do I need to know that, not only do I need to can quote it, But that's got to be real. I got to know that. I got to be able to hold on to that, because God answers prayer. You remember back in September when Florence was coming, and when the, like 2 days before it was coming, that thing was a strong 4, maybe a 5, but the effective prayer of the saints downgraded that storm, and it came in here 1. And then we got a couple of weeks, maybe a month later, we got to see what a 4 did down in, oh mercy, there wouldn't have been no Jacksonville. That's why you pray. That's why you're all in. We don't get, see, we were praying before the storm was named off the coast of Africa. We didn't wait till it got outside North Carolina and start praying. No. You have to pray before the storm get there. You have to pray before the storm comes in your house. You have to pray before somebody gets sick. You have to pray before foolishness comes in your marriage. You have to pray before your child goes wayward. You have to pray before that and never, ever let it go. Because God is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. You know, I one of my favorite group things to talk about is old Elevate. You now got a bunch of men. I don't know if y'all have been noticing it lately, but we got a bunch of men all over the place now. Raise their hand when we in praise. Praying God. Don't mind blessing the Lord with their whole heart and speaking it out. Bless it. Because you know what? God is building the house. And it says, unless God build a house, it's being built in vain. So we teach the men how to pray. Praise. Now you're starting to see them talk more freely about God. Now you're getting to see them pray. And one of the things Jack will always do, he always picks somebody who's trying to be quiet. You're going to pray for us tonight. You're going to pray for us tonight. And so, and what that does is that just puts everybody, so once they start hearing their voice and they go, I can pray. Yes, you can. I can. Yes, you can. And so now we have men who will go over and I call Jack and he'll say, yeah, such and such stopped by today. I said, what y'all talk about? He said, such and such and this and that. Here's the deal. When you all in and God is oozing out of you, people love to be around you. They'll stop by. They'll pretend they want to ask you something, but they just want to be around you because God is in you. And there's a spirit that just touches them. And they go, well, I'm going to go visit him. I'm going to go, yes, I bet you are. Because you love the God spirit that you're feeling in there. God is building the house. God is building the house. It's we were doing something, and the guys was asking some questions, and I said, well, you know that guy named Patrick? They go, yeah. I said, ask him. He go, really? I said, yeah, ask him, because he's fully in, and he'll only give you what God say. And when you have a man that you can just point out, I ain't got to say, well, in 20 minutes, I'm going to have you to talk to this young boy, and maybe you'll pray with him, so I'll give you 20 minutes to think of a prayer. No. When you fully in, prayer oozes out. And I don't have to wait to the very last minute. And so when we have Elevate meeting, sometimes Jack will say, everybody, all the Elevate leaders, get up here and let's pray. And that's just it. That's just it. It's no longer, well, he should have called me, you know, like 6 o'clock before we got here, so I could have had a few minutes to write down my make-believe prayer and so I can sound good. No. God is in you, and it's got to come out. And so what's in you has got to be able to come out. And so when it's time to pray, when it's time to praise, when it's time to testify, when it's time to bless the Lord, when it's time to tell someone who Jesus is, when you have to tell someone he's the author and the finisher of your faith, when you have to tell somebody how he died on a cross and his blood was a propitiation for all your sin, when you start telling people that Jesus is who he really say he is, when they start telling people that God saved us when we were sinners, and the blood that was placed at the end of time and came back and washed our sin, because we wasn't even born when that happened. But he knew that we were going to have sin in our lives, and he knew that the only way we were going to be able to get back to him was through the blood of Jesus, and he did it. And so I'm willing to tell you at work, I'm willing to tell you where, if you stop me on the side of the road, I'll tell you in Walmart, I'll tell you wherever it is, Jesus saves. And there is where you need to go, because he is who he say he is. So when we find ourselves in a dark place, needing some light, light that brings direction and peace, healing, vision, and warmth, and even hope. Sometimes we get in those bad, dark places due to no fault of our own, because it could be a loved one that was hurt, a loved one that died, or in the case of a marriage, it could be the other person. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who embrace me will experience life-giving life, and they will never walk in darkness again. Without the light and the love of Jesus Christ, our hearts, this world is truly dark, and we will be lost forever. And so the whole deal is to be fully in, all the way in. Not playing games, not in hypocrisy, but fully in. Are you fully in? You know God as your Lord, Master, and Savior? Do you know him as the one who pulled you out of darkness and brought you into the marvelous light? Do you know him as God who is the master? Or is this something you do? Who is it that wakes you up in the morning, but you say, I'd rather sleep a little bit longer? He's wanting to talk to you. He wants to bless you. And he wants to bring you into a closer working relationship with him. God is awesome. Are we fully in? Are we fully in? Are you committed and devoted enough to come all the way in to the one true and living God? It's your testimony that God is. It's your testimony, not God was, but God is. It's your testimony that I'll bless him. I'll bless him all the time. I will come not because I'm trying to get saved. I'll come because I am saved. I will come to this place and praise and pray and bless his name because he gave his life for me. And one day I'll get to see him face to face. And when he say, well done, that good and faithful servant, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, I praise you and I bless your holy name. I thank you for this time that you allowed us to be together, Lord God. I pray that everyone here has had a chance to hear, to touch you, Lord God, and now have made a decision to be fully in. Bless each and every person here, Lord God, and allow your precious Holy Spirit now to touch the ones who don't know you and allow them to make a decision that Jesus is Lord in their life. So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I ask if there's anyone who don't know this Jesus that I talked about, who don't know this God who loved them so much that he sent his only begotten son to hang on a cruel cross and shed his blood so you would have the right to the tree of life. This Jesus is the Jesus who is saying, come. If you don't know who this Jesus is, I pray that you would raise your hand now so that we would be able to pray for you and pray with you and to bless your name.